Come on. Just once.
That's all you get.
That's it?
That's it.
Talk radio that's informative and entertaining.
Let everybody see the real Rick Beckett.
The real Scott Winters.
I don't think so.
Couple knots upside your head.
You're starting to chip that.
No, I'm not.
I'm
going
to have to stop the music just for the crickets.
That was very unprofessional.
The Rick and Scott Show. The Rick and Scott Show.
On News Radio 1300 WOOD.
Paying tribute to a dear friend and colleague that we lost last Thursday. All of a sudden, it just hits me.
It comes.
I'll get through it. It does it. It did that all weekend too, and I'm sure it will for many more days to come. Rick Beckett passed away last Thursday night at the age of 54. We're just kind of strolling down memory lane. Me with laryngitis this morning, but Rick would have seen the humor in that. And we're just kind of talking about some of the things that have happened in our past, on the air and off the air. I want to get to a couple of stories, too, before we go. So I got to talk about Super Hooter Tuesday or Thursday or whatever day it was.
Thank you for giving me the heads up this weekend, too. I'm going to talk about Super Hooter Thursday.
I also want to talk about the story that Rick told about one Christmas Eve sitting at home and defrosting his freezer.
That's a great story.
And also his word of advice about how much fish gravel can go down a garbage disposal. Some helpful tips from Rick Beckett. Before we do that, though, I want to go back to some of the earlier days of Rick Beckett. And he actually started working here in town. He started through JA, and that's where he got his taste for radio. He always wanted to be in radio. And one of his first jobs was working at WZZR. And that Phil Tower and Angie Weiss both in the studio with me this morning. Phil, that is where you first met Rick.
Yeah, I grew up, I think, like a lot of people listening to Rick on the radio, I listened to WZZR and I listened to Rick Beckett. And my first full-time radio job in Grand Rapids was the station that used to be The Wizard, WZZR, and before that WZZM, and it was at that time called the New W Light. It was on Alpine and 4 Mile, and it was the loneliest job I've ever had in radio. I worked all alone at night in the station. It was in that white building that's now since been torn down. And one summer night, I'd always have the window open so I could maybe, it was so desolate there, I'd try to hear people coming out of the bar, the Green Apple, just to feel like I was touching civilization.
Right.
One night, I heard this shriek in the parking lot, and it was, "Hey!" And it was Rick Beckett. Mm-hmm. I was in the middle of a song, and so I had the window wide open. There were, you know, bugs flying around outside, and I looked outside, and there's Beckett and a friend. I think it was his friend Steve from Huntsville or from Florida. And he was up visiting, and he said, "Hey, I built this station. You got to let me in." And he was talking about WZZR. So, of course, I went downstairs, let this stranger into the building. I had never met Rick, and he stayed in the studio with me for about an hour, told stories. He was definitely well lubricated, but he was incredibly generous, and that began a friendship. And of course, met you guys when I worked for a company we both worked for in the mid '90s, and that was just—I mean, it was classic Beckett. He wanted to know, you know, everybody to know that I put my mark here. This was my territory, and it was a great story.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget it.
Another person that worked with Rick Beckett back then was none other than the now retired meteorologist, chief meteorologist from TV8, Craig James. Good morning, Craig.
Yes, good morning, Scott.
What do you remember about those days working with Rick back in the, what would that have been, the 70s?
It would have been in the 70s. I started in 73. I think he was a little later than that. I can't remember the exact date, but I do remember him very, very well. How could you not? he was never quiet for a moment, but really, a couple of things I remember most. He had such a good knowledge of the music he played. You could not stump him on any trivia music. He was just tremendous that way. And another thing he used to do, which is the first time I'd ever seen anybody do this, instead of sitting to do the radio show at the microphone, he would take the panels out of the floor. And, you know, underneath this false floor, all the cables are running through there and everything. And he'd push all those aside, and he'd stand up and do his show and walk around because he was so full of nervous energy. And it was just amazing to watch him do that. But he was up the whole time he did the show, and it was a good show.
You know, and I always used to, when you were at TV8, I always used to get this kind of cringe whenever Rick said, "Oh, I called and talked to Craig tonight." Because he would do that very, very frequently. And I always thought, you know what, Craig's trying to do the forecast for tonight, and Rick's over there just probably talking about anything.
Well, he usually was talking about music, but he did call frequently in the evening. And,
and it was probably better when he called after the drinking stopped than before the drinking stopped.
There was a definite difference in the tone of what was being said, yes, and the clarity with which it was said.
Yeah. I can imagine.
But he always watched. He watched every show and would frequently just call to razz us about something if something went wrong or something like that. So, you know, I didn't mind that. We developed a little friendship that way, and that was really very good. I knew he always watched there almost every show.
He did, and I mean, he stayed glued to that TV all the time. And matter of fact, I put in my blog, I think on Friday, that he's probably sitting up there with the remote right now, and you know, watching TV. And you know, we used to, I got an email from a guy who said, you know, Rick and I always used to do Celebrity Death Watch, and you know, because they always say that they go in threes. And,
oh yes, like
and
airplane
he said,
crash.
And he said, you know, you really, even though Rick is gone now, you should continue on that tradition. And how, you know, Rick would be honored that he was number one on the list, and then of all people to be number two on the list, none other than another legendary broadcaster,
Paul Harvey.
Paul Harvey.
Yes,
so
right.
I guess, you know, in honor of Rick, we will at least mention those two deaths. But yeah, it's gonna be different without Rick to call us and share those stories and spend that time with him.
He would have probably started an office pool on who was going to be number three.
It's already started, probably.
Oh,
up
yeah.
In heaven, yeah.
I would doubt it.
You know, and I was imagining this last night as I'm laying in bed. I didn't sleep much for the last couple of days.
I can imagine.
But I was imagining just what would the conversation be like out there, standing outside the pearly gates with Rick Beckett and Paul Harvey.
Yeah, I can, you know, he probably would have said, how dare you upstage me? That's probably what he would have said.
His first words would have been, hey.
I know you, that's right. Hey, Craig, thanks for taking the time to share the stories with us this morning. We appreciate that.
Oh, you bet. We'll miss him a lot.
Yes, we will. Thanks
Craig.
Greg. There you go, Craig James, enjoying retirement. And he was mentioning about how Rick stood and because of the energy. Here's what Rick sounded like back in those days.
Z96 at 633. Those request lines are wide open. You can call me Rocking Rick Records Radio or Rocking Rick. Fine with me, 784-9096. Then get down.
Told you once before. Bad baby, bad dog.
Z96, we are saluting today's VIP boss of the day. His name is Mike Ross from Century 21 in Ada. He was nominated by his employer. Her name is Sue Ferguson. And these two fun people will enjoy a free lunch at Holly's. Send us your boss's name, address, company, phone number to Box 96, Grand Rapids, 49501. Because every morning on the Jay and Lance Show, we draw one card and award those dinners.
Are you into working on your own car?
Ever.
Z96 and RB, I was thinking during that last commercial, any day now I expect to be putting down a 10-cent deposit on gum wrappers, and it'll be a better world to live in for. Don't forget that, okay? Here's Dr. Hawk.
Kind of lonely girl.
Rick mentioned his gum wrappers. Rick would, and a lot of people didn't know this, kind of an inside little story. Every time we'd go into the news at the top or the bottom of the hour, Rick would put two or three sticks of gum in his mouth, and he would chew it for the 3 or 4 minutes of the news, and then spit it out.
I don't know how his teeth didn't rot out.
But he did that. Almost every news break, he'd put gum in his mouth, and there would be this pile of gum wrappers on the desk there in front of him just from doing that.
It was like when you're a kid and you take the whole thing of Big League Chew and shove it in your cheek. That's what he looked like, every news break in the morning.
Tell you what, we've got callers that have been hanging on almost since the beginning of the show. I want to try to get through some of them here. Let's go off to Waylon and talk to Ted. Hi, Ted.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Hanging in there.
I can imagine, my friend, I can imagine. My quick memory of Rick was, I moved out here in 1996, and I went to a celebration on the Grand.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you guys were working at GRD, and here he is off to the side. And I was like, hey, that must be a famous disc jockey over there. And I said, are you a disc jockey? No, not me. No. And I was like, wait a minute, don't you work for it? Your voice sounds familiar from GRD. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, you could be like, almost like, hey, you caught me in the act, and it's you. So I asked him nicely if I could have a picture of you and Darla and Rick, and he was like, well, oh, all right. So you guys were both sitting down, and all three of you were sitting down, and I said, okay, when I get to three, let me take the picture. And he's like, okay. So I did one, two, and as soon as I hit three, he flipped me off. And I got the picture of all three of you like that, and the smile on his face is like, gotcha.
Oh, and he, whenever, if anybody was out there that took a picture of Rick, he demanded you give him the count. You couldn't just take a picture without giving him the 1, 2, 3 ahead of time.
Right. So what I did for you, Scott, is I enlarged the picture. I went to a closest place, and I enlarged the picture, and I'd like to give this to you.
Thank you.
So if I could give it to you this afternoon, I would really appreciate
it. Sure,
that.
Just bring it down to the station and drop it off, and they'll make sure I get it.
Okay, well, you hang in there, buddy, and we'll continue listening to you and everything like that. So thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Rick in Grand Rapids. Hi, Rick.
Yeah, Scott. How you doing?
Hanging in there.
Well, it was good to hear two of the places I used to hang out, the Anchor Bar and the Green Apple. Green Apple more so. In fact, I actually know the owner of that place. He doesn't own it anymore. It's not called that anymore. And I had a telephone conversation with him. But anyway, I just wanted to say what I said last week, Scott. You know, Fox News talks about fair and balanced.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are about the only ones, except for the non-ideological ones like Art Bell and George Norrie, that actually were fair and balanced. You came to each issue, and you looked at it on its merits. Sometimes you would tick off liberals like me, and sometimes you would tick off conservatives. And that shows to me that you guys actually were fair and balanced. And I know, despite all the bantering that Scott, you and Rick had, I could tell, I left a message on your voicemail, and I know you guys were like brothers, and I think you said that on TV. But one thing I'd like to know, I know the dog's going to be okay, and I know there's no funeral or whatever, but what's going to happen to this time slot?
You know, at this point, and I'll be real honest with you here, management has been very nice to just give me the time I needed to put this show together and to get through this. And so we're going to have to let me get through my voice. I hate the fact that my voice is going. We're going to talk. We're going to sit down. I'll sit down with management, and we'll talk about that and see where it's going to go. I'm sure Rick would want me to continue on the show, but, you know, that's not a decision for me to make. That's a decision for several people to make. So, you know, I'm going to take some time off after today and kind of regroup personally, and I'll meet with management, and we'll kind of regroup on a professional level and see where it goes.
Could I just give my input here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Phil wants to do, but despite the fact I'm kind of sad that he's not as liberal as he used to be, he still has a great radio voice, and I'd at least like him to come on and be a guest or a fill-in once in a while.
You know what? I don't even like to think about this right now, Rick, and I appreciate that. I would just say that we are very touched by you and everybody else out there, because somebody said this over the weekend. If we ever had a doubt that this little radio show touched people, it was answered Friday and Saturday and Sunday and today. And it's just it's a real honor to hear from so many people. He was that big, and it's just very hard for us to think about being here.
God bless all of you.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
We'll try to get some more of your calls as well, and I'm going to hope that my voice holds out until noon as we continue this tribute for Rick Beckett. We're going to talk to another one of his neighbors, a neighbor that you've heard him mention many, many times, is the retired minister friend. We're going to talk to him next here on the Rick Beckett Tribute on the very final Rick and Scott Show on News Radio Wood 1300.
Hey, West Michigan, you are hearing two great Americans, Rick and Scott, live on WOOD.
It's a special tribute to our departed friend, Rick Beckett, this morning. And we're going to take some of your calls, also some emails. Matter of fact, I got an email here from Bonnie, and Bonnie says, after reading all of the messages and memories people have posted, it seems overwhelming. Do you think that Rick could have ever imagined that he actually made such a personal contact with that many people?
No.
I don't think so either.
No. I've been amazed just since the news broke on Friday morning. I bet I have received in my Clear Channel email, the Rick and Scott at WoodRadio.com email, I have received probably 1,000 emails. And I just want everybody to know that sent those emails in, I have personally sat down and read each and every email. There isn't an email that doesn't come in that I have not sat down to read. Terry DeBoer, we're going to talk to her in a little bit. She set up the Friends of Rick Beckett Facebook page, and I have read, as of up to about 6 o'clock this morning, I've read every post on that wall. So don't think that those messages don't go unnoticed, because I've read through each and every one of them.
And I think you're right. I don't think he would have expected this type of response, because I think you had mentioned before, the first time that you met Rick Beckett, you thought, wow, he is pompous.
Yes, yes.
And I think a lot of people kind of had that perception of him, but he was really a lot more humble than a lot of people thought.
Rick was one, and he took it a little bit to a further extreme than most people. But Rick was one in this business who didn't let his guard down very quickly. He really had to get to know you before he welcomed you in. And I think that that's why a lot of people kind of thought of him as being kind of pompous or egotistical. It wasn't so much that he didn't care about you. It was just he was very careful not to let you into that circle until he knew he could trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also a very shy person. I mean, he didn't, I remember doing some of the bar remotes and stuff. He didn't want to be there by himself. And he just kind of, after the remote, kind of just backed up against the wall and just, he didn't want to be a real personable person at that point. He was kind of shy.
He kind of came out of that a little bit, especially when we started doing the Rick and Scott anniversary shows.
Yeah.
He was good about answering questions and grabbing the mic and meeting and greeting people, and I think he really kind of came around to
that. You know, what makes me so proud of him, and if I can say that without choking up, is he was so proud to work at Wood Radio and to have this show, and I was so proud of you guys and am so proud of you guys. I was personally entertained every day by your show, every single day, and that's a gift. It really is. So I can't thank you enough for that, and that's something that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
Let's go to a kind of Rick's extended family, where his neighbors, and you heard him talk to about one of the neighbors in particular on several occasions, and that was the retired minister Elton and his wife Bea, and they're on the line this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us your thoughts about Rick. What was he like as a neighbor?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say that there's like a dark cloud over this whole neighborhood.
There is.
One day I was in my garage, and all of a sudden Rick came across the street, and he said, he introduced himself to me. He had just moved in, and he said to me that he was working and what it was all about. And I said, well, I've been retired for a few years now. And he said, what'd you do before you retired? I said, well, I was a salesman. He said, what'd you sell? I said, I sold fire escapes. He said, fire escapes? He said, I never met anybody who sold fire escapes. And on we went. And so then I said, well, he didn't quite understand what it was all about. So I said, I happen to be a retired pastor, minister. Oh, he said, I've been an alcoholic, but he said, God's been good to me. And he said, I believe in God. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. I said, but now how about the Lord? You know, Christ is your Savior? He said, well, that's a mystery to me. He said, I can't quite understand it. Maybe we can get together sometime and you can explain to me what the Bible teaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I'll call you. But it just didn't seem to happen, of course. And we used to invite him to church at special days and so on. And he'd always say, well, I'd like to go. And when it came time, he said he just couldn't make it.
Well, he was a very spiritual man in his own way.
I know, right, you bet.
Well, Elton, I want to thank you. We're kind of running short on time here, but I want to thank you for being such a good neighbor, you and your wife, Bea, to Rick, and keep in touch.
But I will never forget the little funny story, and you can complete it. It was about his little dog, a bandit.
Mm-hmm.
He had a sign in the window, beware of the dog.
Yes.
Okay, you can finish that.
And that was a sign that I gave him as a joke, and it caused so many problems at his condo association because he had a sign in the window. Thanks, Elton.
Thanks, Elton.
Rick's neighbors. Actually, going to talk to Rick's sister's husband coming up out of the break, along with Terry DeBoer, and we'll do that as we continue our tribute to Rick Beckett on News Radio Wood 1300.
Today's show has been supersized at no extra charge to you. This is the Rick and Scott Show on News Radio 1300 WOOD.
Scott Winters, as we're paying tribute to Rick Beckett today, we've got another half hour to go, and a lot of things I want to get covered between now and then. Phil Tower along in the studio with me, along with Angie Weist, and we were talking about Rick's family and neighbors, and Rick had a sister, or has a sister, Jill, from California. We talked to Rick's brother, Fred, earlier today, but Jill's husband, I think, is it Doug?
It is Doug. Thank
hey,
you.
Doug, I understand that you have a statement that you want to read.
Yeah, Jill didn't want to talk on the radio, so I said I would do it for her.
Okay, that's understandable.
Okay. So I'm Rick's brother-in-law. On behalf of the family, Scott, we'd sincerely like to thank Wood Radio, and most especially you, for this wonderful tribute this morning. We thank all of the listeners who have been such a huge, meaningful part of our brother's life. In recent days, many people have taken time to share their memories with us and their sense of loss. Rick would be deeply touched, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
As a family, we've spent the weekend looking at old family photos and telling stories, and none of this can bring back our brother who was taken from us too young, but it certainly has helped. We deeply appreciate all the kindness shown to Rick, and his passing has left a huge hole for us all, you know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the best to you and your wife, Jill, and to the whole Beckett family, and definitely have a safe trip back to California.
Thank you very much, Scott.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
All right.
Thank you.
There you go. That was Rick's brother-in-law, Doug, married to his sister, Jill.
I was just thinking about Elton,
mm-hmm.
the retired pastor, and Elton and Rick talking about God.
Oh, I know.
And I've just decided, and I think all three of us will agree on this, if Rick's not in heaven, I don't want to be in heaven.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
He's there. Yeah. I could feel it, and there was that initial moment, and Scott, you and I talked about this, and Phil, you and I talked about this, where you're just kind of in shock, and you don't have any emotions, and they're flatlined. And
yeah.
I talked to a number of people here. I know that there's been a lot of prayers from a lot of people here, and you could just feel it mm-hmm. in your gut and
yep.
in your
yep.
heart.
I agree.
Another person I want to talk to this morning is the person responsible for making an avenue or an outlet for people to post different comments, and just remarkably the number of people that have done just that. Terry DeBoer on Friday morning set up a Facebook page, The Friends of Rick Beckett, and Terry's on the line with us. Hi, Terry.
Good morning, you guys.
Hi.
Thanks for taking care of that. I mean, that was something that if I had understood Facebook a little bit better, I probably would have done, but I'm kind of pretty dangerous when it comes to that type of stuff.
Well, this is kind of one of those, I'm sure Rick would be yelling at you right now for not thinking of it.
Right.
That would be considered your job, Scott. But, I was just in shock. I got the call from our producer. You know, we're similar to how you operate. You talk to Rick every night. And when I talked to our producer at 3 o'clock Friday morning, I just couldn't believe it. And my head was just reeling. And when I got in, I thought, well, there will be so many people who will want a place that they can go and talk and share their memories. I had no idea. It's more than 2,000 people are in that group.
You're at 2,058 right
my
now.
My gosh.
And Terry, you talked to Rick just Thursday morning, did you not?
I did. You know, when you guys, I always knew when you were on vacation, if I wasn't keeping track of it on the radio, it was always when you were on vacation, if Bandit would wake him up in the early morning, he would always call me because I would take Bandit out and then call me when I was getting ready for work. And so it was 4 o'clock Thursday morning and we had just an amazing conversation. He sounded great. He sounded happy, content. He, you know, Phil, he loved you. He loved the fact that you took a gamble on letting him, with his track record in radio, being on the rock side of things, do this kind of a show because he knew that he could do it. He was an information junkie, loved to be on top of public events, current events, and he knew that it would work, and with Scott by his side, they really revolutionized morning talk radio in West Michigan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Terry, I want to thank you, too. You were a very good friend to Rick. You were there during that time when he was going through rehab, and I know you reached out to him, and you and him spent a lot of time talking on the phone, and that meant a lot to him.
Well, it meant a lot to me, too. I considered him like a brother because he and I just somehow, you know, there are certain people in your life that you meet and you just immediately connect. And Rick and I connected right away. The first time I was in the studio at GRD with you guys all those years ago, and then when I came in and played the saxophone because he challenged me that I
right.
could play the
saxophone. I love it.
And the day that Rove and Ralph showed up in the lobby of Wood TV with a pregnancy test because Rick had heard that I was pregnant, I was so mad. Because I was pregnant and I didn't want anybody to know about it yet.
Terry, thanks for taking the time to share a couple of stories with us. And once again, thanks for putting up the Friends of Rick Beckett Facebook page for
Thank
people
you.
To put those comments up.
You know, he's a great guy. And I think that he would truly be at a loss if he knew how much he meant to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's made a mark on my heart and my life, and forever I will be a better person because Rick Beckett was in my life.
I think we all will. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Terry.
2063. No.
2065. Wow. I'm going to get two more calls here. These people have been hanging on forever. I want to go to Bob in Granville. Hi, Bob.
This is Dick DeVos.
Oh, it's Dick DeVos. I'm sorry. It said Bob on my screen. Hello, Mr. Dick DeVos. Go ahead.
I just have to pass my condolences on to all.
Thank you.
I also have to thank you, Phil, for taking the shot because this town would have really missed him if you hadn't given him that shot and you led him to probably the best part of his career.
Mm-hmm. I think he would agree with that.
Thank you.
I think we all agree.
Thank you. It's something we are all very proud of, mm-hmm. and he was proud of this job, and you knew it every moment he walked in this studio.
Yeah.
It like you said earlier, it takes a while to get to know him, but once he does let you in, you find out what kind of a guy he really was.
Yep. Thanks, Dick. Let's go to Jose in Hudsonville, who we've talked to many times on the show. Hi, Jose.
Hi. Condolences. I had to call last Friday. Condolences to all of you, especially you, Scott and Phil. I hope that you find a way to continue your show somehow. It is important to have local radio. And I just want to say briefly that if we are called for anything in this world, is to have our talents that are given to us by God expressed, fulfilled, and developed. And he did that. And I am not one of those that believe in the cliche that you give back to the community, because something that you earned is yours. Mm-hmm. But something that you get from God, that you do have to give back. And in that sense, I think that his talent was there for all of us. We enjoyed it. A good mixture of lighthearted and the serious that you guys did every morning. And you have become like fellow co-workers for me. Phil was talking about being alone on a radio station. I sit in front of a computer all day long. I'm in the business of public opinion as well. And having you guys in the background was like having people here in my office. And so I hope that continues. And if you ever doubt that your job is not important, just think that somewhere there's somebody who's homebound, maybe in a wheelchair, maybe lonely, who gets a lot of enjoyment of listening to what you guys do.
Thanks, Jose. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Jose.
We'll continue with the tribute to Rick Beckett. We've got about 15 more minutes. We'll continue here on News Radio Wood 1300.
He tried the 8-minute abs. He has every Richard Simmons tape. But what really keeps Rick Beckett sober?
I can rip a checkbook in half.
Yeah, but one check at a time.
Just one check at a time, just, you know.
And that'll take him all day, and he'll have to take a nap between.
Like this guy.
Okay, time for a nap.
Exactly. You know, wears me out.
Yes.
Rick and Scott, weekday mornings at 9 on News Radio 1300 WOOD.
4 out of 5 drivers agree road trips are better with Rick and Scott. Now, more of the Rick and Scott Show on WOOD.
We're running short of time here. A couple of things I want to get in. A lot of people always talked about Rick and his interviewing skills. And a perfect interview. He would ask some of the most bizarre questions. We talked to Nancy Kerrigan, and this goes back to, do I have a date on this? It goes back to the year 2000. We were talking to her about a CD that she had released. And listen to the questions.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Hi.
I have to ask you one question about your song.
Okay.
Why? Why? Oh, man. Oh. We're against you on, like, Nashville on skates, that deal. Like Lulu Roman, a few of the Yeehaw Stars.
Right.
Nothing. Now, whenever I see you on TV, I always have to ask myself this question, so I'll ask you, okay?
Okay.
Are those your real teeth?
Wow, that's the first time anyone ever asked me. Oh, well, I have my real teeth in my mouth, yeah.
Just checking. Those are some big choppers there, Nancy.
Oh, man.
They're not that big if you look up close.
Watch him on a 50-inch big screen.
Wow. Needless to say, that was the first and only interview that we did with Nancy Kerrigan. And then this one, you know, Rick was always the master of bad one-liners and puns.
I went deep into my brain's hard drive for some golden classic comedy. Is this Joni?
Yes, it is.
You still love Chachi?
Hey, good one.
Good one. 20 years ago.
Scared.
You get a birthday wish?
I'd like to wish my husband, Casey, a happy 51st birthday.
Is he still with the Sunshine Band? Hey, there's another good one. That's promo material.
Oh, very good.
Two.
Yeah, really.
Why don't you pull a few references out of maybe, like, the 90s?
I've been watching TV Land too much. I don't know.
Apparently
living
so.
In the past.
What does he do, Joni?
He works for Amway.
What's he do?
He's actually helping with the restructuring.
You mean he's firing people? Hey, when it comes to Amway, he's cleaning house. There's three. Right there. Winner. Bad joke hat trick. Mark it down. Move that pen.
Wow.
All right. There we go. Are we done?
More
than done.
And I think we went on to later win a Michigan Association of Broadcasters Award with this entry.
Why don't I hear
We're asking you to be the judge about a lottery winning situation down in Florida. This guy, his name is
Arnum.
Arnum Ramass.
Ramdass.
What's that?
Ramdass. R-A-M-D-A-S-S.
Ramdass.
Ramdass.
Well, Mr. Ramdass.
First thing I would do is change my name.
Because he, out of his winnings, he got $600,000
right.
Before taxes.
Donna Campbell became suspicious of her husband when he started to keep the television turned off. He disconnected the phone line, and then her suspicions really were upped when she found a postcard about a new home purchase.
Well, his wife, Mrs. Ramdass, she Googled his name and found out that he won.
Imagine the pictures that are going to come up if you punch in the name Ramdass into Google.
Benny, would you do that during the news break? I'd love to know. What's he saying? You won't do
I'm sure
it?
That's a violation of some company policy somewhere.
Well, that's their name. Well, her suspicions got the best of her, and she found out he was indeed a winner.
Right.
It looks like he was ready to
leave.
Leave.
Right. Ramdass and his co-workers pulled the money. Sorry. That's the name we have.
Ramdass.
Ramdass and his co-workers pooled money for twice-weekly lotto drawings every Wednesday and Friday. And back on the 20th of June, they collected $220, and they hit the jackpot. Their group of mechanics opted for the lump sum payment of $10.2 million, meaning each of the 17 winners would receive about $600,000 before taxes.
And we want to know, should he have to share the lottery winnings? With what's her first name?
Her name is Donna. Donna Campbell. Apparently she doesn't use his last name. And for good reason.
We just want to know, should they split this deal? Hi, Bob.
That should go 50-50. I mean, hey, talking from a guy who has been divorced, and my divorce went 60-40, not in my favor. Maybe Mr. Ramdass can change the first part of his last name to Dumb. And that would explain maybe part of a situation, huh?
Well, thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Go to number four. GR. Hey, Will.
The fair thing would be, yes, to split it.
So 50-50?
Yeah. Like, my divorce is 50-50. She got all the assets, or 50% of the assets, and I got all the debt.
Mm-hmm.
So from my perspective, it's like, if he can get out of this with this money, I say good for him.
All right, go to number two real quick. Thank you, Will. Still in GR. Paul, are you there?
Well, here's how I see it. Now, just strictly to the winnings on the lottery thing, nothing else withstanding. He ought to offer her $100,000, and if she doesn't take that and she wants more and she wants to put greed into the equation, he ought to just blow the country and tell her to pound sand. It was a dysfunctionate marriage, so, I figured we'd look at it this way. He offers her $100,000, and then if she says no, he says, okay. I'll see
you. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
We will keep you up to date on the continuing story of the lottery-winning Ramdasses and what happens. She looks like she could be a little tough.
He might have to just turn the other cheek and write a check.
What cheek would that be, Scott?
Right or left?
It's News Radio 1300, don't you know?
And we'll come back and we'll wrap up this tribute to Rick Beckett in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Relax.
soaking it all in on this show may take up to 3 hours. This is the Rick and Scott Show on News Radio 1300 WOOD.
Thanks for Phil Tower and Angie Weiss for sitting in here this morning with me as we did this tribute to Rick Beckett. Thanks to everybody who sent emails, posted comments on blogs, those type of things. As far as a memorial service or funeral, Rick did not want a memorial service or a funeral, and his family's respecting those wishes, so that won't happen. There will be an obituary in today's paper in the Grand Rapids Press if you want to see that. Aside from that, we're going to have a list of charities that Rick talked about that if you would like to donate in his memory to those charities, those will be available on my blog and the Wood Radio website, woodradio.com. You found a verse over the weekend that you think kind of sums things up, Angie?
My dad found it. He read it at devotions yesterday, and it hit me and really brought me to tears. It's Isaiah 50, verse 4. It says, "My God has given me a well-taught tongue, so I know how to encourage tired and weary people. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught." And that really struck me yesterday when my dad pulled that
verse. And I think the best way to sum this all up is to just go back to the way Rick used to end his show. Back when he worked at ZZR, he used to end it by singing Happy Trails. So I'm going to let Rick take it from here. "I'm going to miss you, friend. Rest in peace, and may God bless you, Rick Beckett."
Happy trails to you.
A little closer.
Until we meet again.
Oh, thank you.
Happy trails to you.
Yo!
And keep smiling.
Chance.
Yeah, right. Get over here.
Solo, go ahead. Solo, yeah.
Happy trails to you.
Get out of here.
Oh, buddy.
Till we meet again.
The onion crock for you guys out there.
Hey, I gotta go.
That's it. We gotta go. Thanks for listening to Rick and Scott. And goodbye, everybody.